Now you can return upstairs or back to your seat. As we continue in our series this morning on the blessing life, the message this morning is in several texts, but it is entitled Sharing the Gospel with Humility. Sharing the Gospel with Humility. And so as we prepare this day, let us pray that God would help us to understand this call. Lord, on the one hand, we are told to speak the gospel with boldness. And then on the other, humility. And these are often challenging words for us. I think many of us probably fear sharing the gospel at all. But there are those of us who also share it too boldly or without proper humility. Lord, help us to grow as we bless you by sharing the gospel, that we would do so with a humble heart. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, saying, Amen. So we're well on our way into the 40 days. We're on the 29th day, and small groups are meeting and continue to have good attendance from what I hear and good reaction to the messages. And we understand that there are those now that want to continue. And so we thank God for that, and we pray that He would lead in our church, that small groups might become a regular part of our weekly practice of the faith. Now, last week I preached a sermon that, in essence, if I was to summarize it, would have been Jesus wants us to be nice. Right? And if you had told me that you attended worship somewhere and the entirety of the pastor's message was to be nice, I would have thought probably somewhere deep in my mind, that was a pretty weak sermon. Okay, because we tend to think about preaching the gospel that it should have some strength in it, that there should always be a presentation of the challenge of faith, the call to action, the gospel should be preached. But the truth is, that was what the text supported. That we were called to be courteous, that we were called to be nice people. And so therefore I had to preach it. So in fact, it is a good thing to be nice. It is biblical to be nice. But there is an imperative behind that sentence that God calls us to be nice. See, the imperative is that God calls us, that God speaks to us. And the magnitude of that should not be lost in the second part of the sentence that's rather, well, nice. The fact is we're having a conversation with God, the creator of the universe. And so there is a deeper message there that's hidden within that sentence, and that is the fact that God speaks to people. And the reality is that when we say God speaks to people, in particular through Jesus Christ, that fact has shook the world. So even in such a mild message of God calls us to be nice, is this amazingly deep thought of God speaking to us, and that there are a bunch of people throughout the world that have a debt to God. In fact, we all have a debt to all the people that have gone before us who God has spoken to. And that's because they have followed God's calling in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. For those of you who have been doing church a while, this should be a very familiar scripture. If it's not familiar to you yet, then it should become familiar to you, because this is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fortunately for us, each and every one of us, someone heard this message from the resurrected Christ and applied it in their life in a consistent and serious manner. Because if they didn't, we wouldn't be here. If people beginning in the small region of Palestine had not heard Christ and took this message so seriously that they died to obey it, there would not be a little church in a small town in the backwaters of Louisiana in a continent that was unknown in the time in which this message was given. God has given humanity, His followers, the church, this great commission. It is a commandment from God to go forth and speak the gospel. So first of all, if we love God, if we adore Him, if we accept Him as Lord, if we love God, we must tell people about Jesus simply because God says so. We need no other reason than God being God to encourage us to speak this message. If we believe firmly that people are saved by grace, we must absolutely believe the truth of God calling them. But we must absolutely believe the truth that He has called us to speak and share with them. We must make disciples, the Scripture teaches. And the only way to do this is to share the gospel. And the gospel message is simple. I read it on Facebook yesterday. And this is how simplified it can get. I'm a mess. Jesus died for me. I can live with Jesus forever. We try and make the gospel so hard that I can't do it. I need Pastor Bill to do it. And the reality is no, it's not that complicated. And I'll just say it more theologically. There is a God in heaven. And He is holy and just. And we are not. And because He is holy, we are under judgment unto death. But that same God, seeing the circumstance, sent His Son to die for us that we might be in relationship with the Holy God, even though we are not of ourselves holy. Now, that's the more complicated theological gospel. But again, if I boil it back down, I can come to the end of this text we just read and say, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And that's why every week I speak to you the words, "You are not alone." See, the gospel is really, really simple. You are alone. You are, as the atheists say, born into this world alone, and you will die alone. Unless you know God. And then no matter what, you will never, ever, ever be alone. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's really not that complicated. So we, if we are disciples, if we listen to God, we must share this message. And then we must baptize people. Now that's not just the application of water, although that's certainly what we're talking about. The application of water is a reaction to the fact that we have taught them who Jesus is in a deeper manner, in such a way that they want to follow Him and make their lives shaped around who Jesus is. And so we, if we love God, must baptize people. We must carry them into a life of faith in which they embrace the meaning of being part of the Christian family to such a degree that they will make covenant with God. And we must teach people to obey God. As I remind my children often, "Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." All my children can quote that scripture. Well, children, we must obey our Father, for this pleases Him. We must obey God. We must learn enough about who He is and what His demands are that we obey Him. We can't water down the gospel to such a point that it's merely, "Oh, I love Jesus." And we'll sing 20 verses about that without ever changing a step of our lives in response to Him. We can't avoid conflict with people and their behavior because we love ourselves too much to deal with the trouble of it. You follow that? In other words, we don't want to have to tell people that's wrong, so we say nothing. If we love God, we will teach people to obey His Word. There's a really popular video right now on the internet about this guy who is talking about how Jesus hates religion. And he is somewhat accurate. But he is also missing the point. See, Jesus didn't like religious people. Religious people are people who are in love with their religion, not the God with which it points to, or to whom it points to. But you can't worship God without obeying Him. And to obey Him, you must understand the religion He created. Jesus did not abolish Judaism, the religion of worshiping Yahweh, the one true God. He fulfilled it. He made it make sense. He made it real. And so we are still called to follow the religion of obeying God. But we must never become fools in which we give our faith over to the religion and not to the relationship with God. He hates false religion. That's what Jesus hates. So we are called to teach people to obey God. We want them to understand the Christian faith because God saves, because God loves, because God is wonderful. Verse 12. You'll be in 13. I didn't put it all up there. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, when we talk about preaching in this sense, we're not talking about me, the preacher. We're talking about Christians proclaiming Christ and talking about who He is, all of us. You see, if we love people, we must tell them about Jesus. It's not loving to ignore that people are going to hell. It's not loving, take the hell card off the table, to let people live the hellish life they are living without God in it. That's not loving, to ignore their damnation. We have to tell the world of the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ, or we do not love them. We don't predict who Jesus will save. Therefore, we need to be telling anyone we can, both the ones we love and the ones we hate. We have to tell them with our lifestyles. We have to tell them with our courtesy. We have to tell them with our mouths. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If they do not know to call, they will not speak the words. We have to follow God in this and trust the truth. We are told that belief is a necessary component of salvation. We can't take comfort in people being nice. You know all kinds of nice people who do not follow God. We can't take comfort in the fact that people have a working knowledge of who Jesus is. They have to actually believe not only that He existed, but He is their Savior. Hearing is a necessary component of believing. For 2,000 years, people have been passing on the truth of their love of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, people have come to believe because someone told them about Jesus, either their parents, their pastor, or a friend, or a complete stranger has shared with them about salvation in Christ. For many of us, this is a call to study. It's a call to a small group, a Bible study. It's called the daily devotions. It is a call to learn who Jesus is so you can fully share Him with others. If you are out there thinking at this time, this whole blessing thing, I just don't get it, then you don't get Jesus. Because He's all about blessing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that none should perish. That all who believe in Him would be saved. If you don't see the blessing of God in Jesus, you don't get Him. James gives us these challenging words. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. And shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? We have to follow our belief in Jesus with believing action. And show Him to be real in our lives. Our belief must have real action behind it, or it is no real belief. If you are afraid to share your faith, that's fine. Learn more about your faith and overcome your fear. In the near future, I hope that we will have a new Bible study in many of our home groups. It's called Not a Fan. And what the premise is behind this Bible study is there's all kinds of people who are fans of different things. Saints fans, LSU fans, Madonna fans, Jesus fans. Jesus calls us to be followers. Fans buy t-shirts, they don't change their lives. Followers study and become like the one they follow. And when we do that, then we must become like Him in a real and serious way. And this is where we discover the title of this week's message. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human form. If you love yourself, you'll embrace the humility of Jesus Christ. If you love yourself, you will embrace the humility of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? See, selfishness is a love of self that is unreal. It doesn't do anything for you in an eternal sense. It destroys you. But if you really love yourself, if you really want to be who you are created to be, if you really want to live eternally, then you must become humble. For Jesus Christ is humble. And that's radical. Because Jesus Christ was the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and He was God. And all things were created through Him. Yet He did not grasp at the recognition due Him. He lived as a servant and died for us. Jesus is humble. If you want to be like Christ, you must want to be humble. So when I say we need to be nice, let me just restate that and say we need to get over ourselves and focus on others. And I must confess that that's incredibly challenging. I get this one. Okay, if you're ever tempted to think, oh, the pastor doesn't understand what it's like out here. Oh, I get this one. It is so hard to get over me. But being by very nature God, Jesus acted like He was our servant. He washed the feet of human beings. This is the being who created the world, right? He understands our molecular structure. He has a grasp of all physics. There are no questions of physics for Jesus. And He bows the knee and He washes the dirty feet of human beings. Not only that, He is drugged through the streets and beaten and nailed to a cross for us. This is stunning. It's not like the president behaving just like an average citizen. Okay? This isn't like a king that acts like a serf. It isn't as if an emperor acted like a slave. It is in the very nature being God. He humbled Himself and died. It says in Scripture that He embraced the cross. For the joy set before Him, He embraced death. We have no comparison for this. We could take whatever rank from society at the top and lower them to the bottom, and we still haven't come close to what Jesus has done. Yet He is, by nature, humble. What an indictment on myself. Go ahead and get all wound up about something someone posted on Facebook. Go ahead and complain about how long the line is in the grocery store. Go ahead and be upset about that guy who will not get out of the left lane, no matter how slow they are going in traffic. Get upset about whatever daily problem you might have and think about Jesus hanging on the cross. And if you're like me, be embarrassed at your behavior. For even knowing we were His enemies, He died for us. Verse 13 of Philippians 2. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Listen. So that you may become blameless and pure. If you love yourself, you must become humble. Because it is a pathway to purity. Continuing in that verse, children of God without fault and a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Listen carefully, as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Working out our salvation is important. Letting God work in and through us matters. And to do so, we must share the word of life. And you must know what that word is to share it. As you hold forward that word, as you work it into your behavior, as you work it into who you are, as you train You are becoming what God intends for you to be. And there is no greater life than that process of growing. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. What an amazing thought. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful to be in your presence this day and to have worshiped you and have been blessed by your being with us. Thank you for your word and speaking to us. Lord, we turn our lives to you and pray that you would guide them and direct them, that we would become the people you are making us into, pure and holy. Oh Lord, may we indeed shine like the stars, that we would do so to your glory. Lord, as we grow, as we develop, as we are children before our Father, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.